to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Right, that was No Resolve called Chemical. Some new music here in 2026. Welcome to 2026, people. Another year of Ragman. Hey, and the 20th anniversary of the Genghis and Ragman show coming up here in September. We've got big things planned for you, so be ready. I hope you guys all had a good holiday season and Happy New Year over there. I hope you enjoyed the Genghis and Ragman show last week. But now you got me. I'm back. I'm back, baby. I'm ready to rock. Ready to do great things. Do great interviews for you. I've got some stuff planned here coming up in the future, which will be pretty freaking cool. So look forward to that and look forward to doing the show here. So anyway, I just want to recap. You know, the holidays for me went pretty smooth, you know. Did our thing. The worst thing for me is I've got my birthday on Christmas, and it bugs me every year because I don't want to get older. And you know, everything's hurting and all that shit. So I'm not gonna do the old man shit talk tonight, not at all. But so we do the birthday thing. I'm at the girl's house. We celebrate and all that jazz. They're like, hey, we want to see Christmas lights. I'm like, okay, it's my birthday, but whatever, you know. But people please. So let's get in the car. So we go to the car, and then we go to this place called River Oaks here in Houston. And it's like where the rich folk live. So poor folk like me don't get out there too often. I mean, why do I need to be out there? It's just a bunch of rich people. They can light their houses, and apparently it's a thing to see. But we go all the way out there and it's fucking traffic. Nothing. On Christmas night. Shouldn't people be home, opening presents, getting fucked up, doing their thing, having fun? Well, I think there was a football game on. There was stuff going on, but no, let's get in the car. Let's go look at lights. I mean, we did it too, so what am I criticizing for? But yeah, it was kind of a shit show doing that. But other than that, no, it was cool. New Year's was awesome. And now I'm ready to rock, man. I'm ready for some shows. My first show is coming up here pretty quick. Oh, actually, not that quick. I mean, it's mid-January, and my first show's in late February. So, I don't know how you guys are. It's, you know, I talked about this a few shows back. Ticket prices are getting so crazy expensive. So, you really got to take a look and choose which one you really want to go to. Because it's a lot of coin. And I was talking to a buddy tonight, which I found this kind of interesting. So I've talked about the Triumph show coming up, and that's kind of expensive. I get it, they've been away 50 years, but going to another venue, I was able to get tickets for $150, opposed to going to a shitty venue in Houston and paying $350 for a seat. So I got to drive to Dallas. I bought two tickets. I mean, if I would have done it in Houston, $700 for two tickets for me and the girl to go to, or one ticket for $350, $360 with all the bullshit fees, and I go by myself in a venue I've never really seen a good show. So at that point, I was like, you know what? I mean, I was pissed they're playing there, but at that point, I think I was thinking, you know, I want to go, but don't want to go that bad. Don't want to pay $360 to see Triumph. And I know I talked about on the show a while back that, hey, we got, you know, Phil X up there. He's helping with the vocals and stuff like that. And they sound really good. But is it worth $356 of my money? I don't know. I mean, it's right down the street from the girlfriends. It's literally a 10-minute drive. There's a convenience factor. But this venue is so shitty for live shows, I opt out. So what I'm doing is I'm driving to Dallas. Gonna see my buddy Lee. Gonna take the girl. If I don't take the girl, she opts out, I will go with my bro, my brother. My brother from the same mother. We'll go check out Triumph at, I think something called the Music Factory, Toyota Music Factory. I think it's a live venue in Dallas, and Lee has given it high ratings. So I'm trusting you, Lee. So, all right, talk a lot of Triumph here. Why don't we do a great classic from them, which I'm sure they're going to play. How about a little Never Surrender? I love me some old Triumph, classic Triumph, and I hope they play that song. I really do. I love that song so much. It's going to be interesting to see what the playlist is. And, you know, also with Rush coming back, what are they going to play? You know, what are they going to concentrate on? I'm sure it's going to be like kind of a greatest hits thing where hopefully they'll play some deep cuts and stuff like that. I would assume that Rush is going to be just them. That's why they did their last few tours. Triumph, I believe April Wine's opening up. So my give a shit factor on that. I mean, I liked April Wine, some of their stuff, but probably one original guy, you know. But I guess they're trying to keep it truly Canadian over there. So good for them. We'll see what happens. But what I meant to mention a little bit ago is talking to my buddy this evening. He mentioned that Tori Amos is on tour, which I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't even know what she's saying. I know she's, if I heard on the radio, I was like, oh, and they're like, that's Tori Amos. I was like, oh, okay, I know now. But could I name 10 songs? No way. Could I name two? No. Could I name one? that'd be a negative. So, but I did ask him, I said, you know, you're going, so, you know, what's the ticket price? Is it on the level of a Rush or a Triumph to where they're asking for a lot of money because maybe she hadn't toured for a long time? I'm not sure if she's been out of the spotlight for a while or not. I'm just assuming. I hadn't heard that name in a long time. He said, no, they're kind of high, but they're $100 all in. I'm like, hey, today's prices, that's really not too bad, you know, for, you know, someone established. And someone's been out there, and they got the hits and stuff like that. So, it'd be interesting to see, you know, what shows come through and what get announced here in 2026. I mean, I'm going to a lot of classic metal shows so far. I don't have any newer bands on the horizon yet. I'm still trying to work some stuff out there. But I know that I'll be seeing Halloween with Lee. And I think those tickets were $150. And for Halloween, that's a lot. I mean, in, you know, it's, the venue's not huge. It should be a great, intimate show. I like the venue. But it's a little steep for Halloween. But, hey, I saw him back in the 80s on a Headbangers Ball tour with Anthrax. And I forget who else. And they were great. So, why not? We'll check them out. And back then, Michael Kiske had hair. Oh! How things have changed. But anyway, my first show is, it's kind of actually a guilty pleasure, so to speak. It's a band I love. And I'll play a song from them here in a bit. One of their newer songs. And one of the ones that made one of my top songs of 2025. It's my band called Big Wreck, which I saw a few years ago in Houston. They blew me away. And I'm going to be in Canada for business. And I said, hey, I guess I need to go see these guys. But they're not headlining, which is a bummer. They're opening up for live. And I'm not the biggest live fan. I mean, I don't know. But I guess, hey, those tickets were expensive, even in Canadian dollars. When it transferred into U.S. dollars, it was like, what? Holy shit. But I'm excited to see Big Wreck. I'm not sure if I'll see a show before that. But yeah, that's at the end of February. So I'm going to go a good bit here before I see live music. But after that, it gets kind of nuts. But before I go on, how about some Big Wreck? This one's called Believer. This one rocks. Let's check it out. Song. And Ian Thornley, what a guitar player, man. You gotta go check these guys out live. If you're a guitar nut, guitar head, something like that, Ian will blow you away live. You know what's funny? I'm doing another Canadian themed show. So far, playing Triumph and now Big Wreck. Both great bands. Both great bands. And Big Wreck, I mean, just they keep putting out great stuff. So, love them. Man, I can't wait to see them again. Again, the first time I saw them a couple years ago, I was like, holy sheep shit. These guys are awesome. I remember the first time I ever heard them, I was up in Canada just listening to terrestrial radio. And I'm going to date myself. That's before, I think, Sirius XM and all that. And this band comes on. I'm like, who the fuck is that? That's pretty awesome. And I used to like to go up there and listen to, like, local radio just to kind of get a feel for, you know, some of these other bands. Would I hear Harum Scarum on the radio? Would I hear somebody like that? No, I never did, but I found Big Wreck. Oh, this talk's making me thirsty. Mr. G. John, what's this fucking teddy bear song?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah, I'm not worried about it at all. I just, if you're fucking a teddy bear up there, just, you know, clean it up and throw it in the wash. Alright, tonight, I got a beer from some of my travels. I haven't even told you what I've done towards the end of the year, other than Christmas. This one is from a brewery I really dig. I got some of their stuff last time I was in Cali. The brewery's called There Does Not Exist. And this one's called Stag. It's a West Coast Pale Ale brewed with Mosaic and Simcoe hops. 5.5% ABV. It's a little bit lighter in ABV. And a West Coast, not a hazy. Genghis would be so proud. Let me pour this bad boy. And it's pouring out very nicely. Looking beautiful over here. Nice, crisp, clean. I love a good West Coast. And for you non-beer drinkers or drinkers that don't know better, there are two types of West Coast IPAs. One is a, I guess, more traditional California West Coast that is more malty. It almost looks amber in color. And I don't like them. They're bitter and all that jazz. And then I like the one I like is the clear golden version. Almost looks like a Pilsner. This one's a little hazy in color. It's very nice. We do an aroma check. Oh, hell yeah. This one's going to be very dank. And I love a good dank IPA. Or like a West Coast. They're very, very nice. So this one's beautiful in color. Like I said, golden, clear, little haze to it. A little bit of head on top and a little retention sticking to the glass. So aroma and look, I'm giving you a 4. So I might know where this is going, but not 100% because, as I always say, the true test is in the taste. So let me clink myself. Oh, dude, that's money in the bank. One more drink. Yum. Crisp, clean. I don't get so much of the dankness, maybe a hair. Citrus notes, and that's another thing I like in a good West Coast IPA, some citra notes. So anyway, John, hit the horns. All right, so I want to play a band, and I can't remember if I played them on the show before. So you guys are fans of Mr. Big, Billy Sheehan. You know he's a busy bee. He's always out there doing his stuff. And now that Mr. Big's on hiatus, or whatever they are, from what Eric said, doesn't look like they have any plans to do anything anytime soon. So, Billy, busy as usual. I didn't know if he'd go do Sons of Apollo again, Winery Dogs, or what he would do. But he ended up joining this band called The Fell. And they put out a song, I want to say, it came out maybe early part of last year. Actually, they put out this EP, but the first there was this song, and then the EP came later. Whatever. Getting ahead of myself. But anyway, I like that song. And I want to say I played it on the show, but I cannot remember. Because it's been a few minutes. But they've got this one song called Kill Switch that made it onto my list of songs for 2025. So I tell you what, if you haven't checked out The Fell so far, you're about to now. And I think you'll be an instant fan. This one rocks. And I got to say, the guitar players kind of got a Paul Gilbert vibe. Really dig it. Hope you guys do too. Let's rock. Kill Switch by The Fell. Like I told you earlier, you kind of knew it. You're like, I forgot the name of the band. But now thank you for reminding me, Ragman. I appreciate it. No, to be honest, what a great band. And every song I've heard from them is awesome. So, man, I just hope they tour. And I hope they put out more new music. That would be so awesome. Such a killer thing. I mean, Billy Sheehan just steps into all these great groups, man. So good for him. Like about everything he does, I mean, for the most part, he's been a part of a lot of really good projects. I mean, Mr. Big being the big one, and then Sons of Apollo. I guess Winery Dogs, I was not a huge Winery Dogs guy. I did like Winery Dogs, but just, I don't know, didn't do a lot for me. I think the second record I liked a little bit better than the first. I tell you what, I'm talking Winery Dogs. I got a whole thing. There's a whole thing coming. So, Winery Dogs, we're going to talk about Richie Kotzen. Richie Kotzen was in Mr. Big and made a really big impact after Paul Gilbert left. And those were big shoes to fill. Did he do Paul? No. He did Richie, and then made the band a bit more bluesier. And the records they did with Richie were really cool. So I tell you what, let's do a Winery Dog song, and then I'm going to talk about something else. How Long by the Winery Dogs. So the reason I bring up Kotzen, well, there's the affiliation with Billy Sheehan and Winery Dogs, Mr. Big, all that jazz. There's a new story out. It's a new story. I mean, not new, but we're talking a lot about these tours. And I found this pretty apropos to bring up. Because there was another tour that was supposed to happen this year. But my give-a-shit factor was low. I didn't even know until I read this article, but apparently Poison was going to get back together in 2026 to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Look What the Cat Dragged In. So, I mean, I'll admit, I saw them on that tour. They opened up for Loudness. And I caught the end of them. It was so funny. I remember I was working on my car, and I just got a new stereo. And I was in high school and everything. My buddy shows up. He's like, dude, let's go, let's go. And my dad's out there, and he's like, what are you boys up to? I was like, we're going to a show. He's like, who are you seeing? I'm going to see this band Poison. We're going to see this band Loudness from Japan. Oh, what did it look like? So I pull out the Look What the Cat Drug In, and my dad's like, it looks like a bunch of girls.
You're fucking hot. I gotta say, I masturbated bunch to the cover. And then I found out, oh shit, it's dudes.
I'm sure that really stopped you, John. I'm sure it did. But anyway, no, it's funny. I mean, they look like chicks on the cover. You knew they were dudes, so whatever. So yeah, when that record came out, I mean, I first got it. They're opening for Loudness. They're nobody. So like I said, you know, after they're opening up for Loudness in small clubs, they hit on MTV with Talk Dirty to Me. And then the whole record blows up. I Want Action, all that stuff. They got all the videos. And then they're opening in, you know, arenas with bigger acts. I kind of wish I would have saw them. It would have been cool. Then they had the second record open up and say, oh, and I got to say, I like the record. It was a good record. A lot of great songs. Nothing But a Good Time. Fallen Angel. Great songs on there. And then they come up with Flesh and Blood, which is not as good. Unskinny Bop. And then you Something to Believe In, I guess, was the other big hit. So there you go. That's the era of the original lineup, part one, before things went a little different. So, this 40th anniversary was going to happen, but somebody wanted too much money. Can you guess who? Drum roll, please. Yeah, you guessed. Ricky Rocket. No, I'm kidding. Bret Michaels. According to Page Six, it says that Bret Michaels was looking for a lot more money than the other guys. I think he wanted $6 to every dollar they were going to get. The rest of the band. Oh, I'm Bret Michaels. I got the name. I had a TV show. I got my country band. Ricky Rocket's like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't think that you deserve that. We were a band. We're four. You know, I get it. I get it. And I think CC DeVille and Bobby Dahl were like, said, you know what? Fuck off, dude. Like, you know what? We're not doing this unless this is a fair thing. We started the band as four guys, and now you're a greedy fuck because, yeah, you've got a bigger name. Well, let's be honest. He can go out and sell out these sheds, or not sell out, but he can fill some sheds. Maybe big clubs and stuff like that, where the other guys really can't. I mean, CC DeVille's coming, it's like, hey, the CC DeVille band's here. Let's go see them. I don't think a lot of people are going to go. I know Ricky Rocket's got his stuff, but I don't know. Bret was the voice of Poison. Do you have all these amazing musicians in this band that can go out and say, oh, dude, check out my new, you know, instrumental record or whatever? I don't think so. I mean, to Ricky Rocket's credit, he does, like, drum heads. He does a bunch of stuff. And then now he's got this new Ricky Rocket band thing. And I think they're doing I forget the name of the band, whatever it's called. But I think it's called the Rocket Mafia. And they're doing Poison songs, but without Brett. And I guess without CeCe and Bobby. Which I think is pretty shitty. I mean, fuck you. If they go out as an original band, they can go out and make some good coin. And, yeah. Why not? You know, pull out a couple other bands with you and go make some money. But no, Michael's just got fucking really greedy. Which is bullshit. Which brings me to what I wanted to bring up. I mean, I went on this tangent about this whole story here. And it's, again, kind of a shame for the other guys that they don't have the name that Brett does these days. But, I mean, I think Brett Michaels should say, hey, let's go do this. And, you know, we'll make some coin. We'll go out and have a lot of fun. But who knows? Maybe they're not even friends. You look at the Decline of Civilization Part 2, where the guys were young, hungry. I think they were still on Look What the Cat Drug In when they filmed that movie. And they seemed to be all friends. But again, you know, touring and stuff like that. CeCe leaves after Flesh and Blood. And then they're kind of strange because he's a cokehead. He's Joe Pesci in a suit. He's a lot of things. So it wasn't working out. But I gotta say, this is my whole point, and I've gone around in all these circles. But I'm coming to a point, people, I promise you. And a lot of you are like, I don't even fucking like Poison. Well, I'll deal with it. Because I want to talk about Richie Kotzen and Poison. And I want to talk about the void of CeCe DeVille when he leaves. And I gotta say, I listened to CeCe's stuff today. Some of the solos he did. And as comical as, you know, we made fun of him back in the day, some of the solos were actually kind of tasteful. They're not horrible. I mean, the guy can play. But this was the interesting thing for me, and I've talked about this, you know, years ago, but it came up tonight, that CeCe leaves, and I think maybe it was the era where you lose a guy, a guitar player, and it's the height of the shredder and the badass guitar player. They're like, well, we lost CeCe. He was good. But why don't we step it up a notch? I mean, Kiss fell victim to that too. You know, they lost Ace. They get Vinny, who is a really accomplished guitar player. And then they get a shredder in Mark St. John. That didn't work out. I mean, I liked Animal Eyes. I thought that was a good record. But then they get Bruce Kulick, which is a really good guitar player, but he's not a shredder in that sense. So they pick Richie Kotzen, the shrapnel guy, who is shredder, but got a good blues background, very bluesy, and he can sing. So let's do it. So they hire him for Native Tongue. And I guess my question to you guys, and I pondered the question, and if I ever talked to anybody in Poison, which I've never have, I would want to say, you know, did Richie come in and make you guys better musicians? Not to say you're bad musicians. You wrote good songs, they're catchy, and you made a lot of money on those songs. But as far as being a musician, a badass at your instrument, does a guy that comes in that's a virtuoso, does he make you better? I don't know. Native Tongue? I went back and listened to a little bit of it tonight. I'm like, fuck, that's not a bad record. It's actually pretty good. So we're going to play a song. This one's called Blind Faith. Let's check it out.
Feeling dead.
as you can hear, it's that Poison sound, but Richie's doing some cool little riffs and stuff like that, and you can kind of hear him singing a little bit in the background. I wish they would have given him more of a voice like they did in Mr. Big, which Eric actually told me that he kind of thought it was very cool to have that dynamic between him and Richie. So, anyway, so Richie fucks Ricky Rocket's girlfriend. I don't really get married or whatever. Anyway, he steals his broad and he's like, hey, fuck you, you're out of the band. So here we are, Poison again. It's three guys without a guitar player. What do you do? So I think this was kind of, I guess, on the cusp of grunge taking over at this point. And I think they still thought if they got a really good, talented musician in that guitar spot, that they could still stay relevant. So they get another shredder, a bluesy guy, shredder, kind of like Richie, Blue Sarcetto, another shrapnel guy. And, they do this record called Crack a Smile, which actually gets shelved because of the timing. At that point, the hair metal stuff, it's dead. No one's buying. No one cares. They've all gone to flannel, looking down at their feet at the stage and all that. And not a lot going on for the type of hard rock and heavy metal that we loved. I mean, there were still bands still out there doing it. But if you wanted that kind of music, maybe not the hard rock hair metal stuff, but if you wanted more power metal and stuff like that, you were going overseas for that music. Because in Europe, it was still big, and in Asia, it was still big. But in the U.S., it died a quick death. But then, grunge didn't last very long either. I think maybe 3 to 5 years, and then it was on the out. And then you had nu metal. And so now it's kind of morphed into where you got a lot of different genres. There's so many fucking genres, I can't keep up. If you were ever lucky enough to get one of the early Right Rock shirts from the Genghis and Ragman show, we listed so many fucking types of metal and subgenres, it'd make your head spin. I remember Tracy G, we gave him a shirt, and he's like, what the fuck is Viking metal? At that point, it wasn't really popular, but it's kind of a thing now. It's kind of unfortunate the way things went, but I do got to take my hat off to Poison for, like, they wanted a really great guitar player to come in that spot. And someone that is more talented than CeCe. CeCe's good. I'm not bashing the guy. Now, like, I listened to some of the solos today, and they're like, they're actually pretty good, some of them. Are they Steve Vai, Kotz, anybody like that? No. Are they tasteful? Yes. But so they get Blue Sarcetto and they do this album Crack a Smile. And I gotta say, when that thing came out, finally, after it had been shelved for years, they had this song called Sexual Thing. And I was like, motherfucker, that's good. And it's kind of heavy. And I think blues got him kind of a little heavier vibe, which I really liked. And Richie's more of a bluesier guy, so he's not going to inject more of that force. But blues was more of a kind of a heavy blues guy. So I tell you what, let's check out Sexual Thing off Crack a Smile.
Jam blues man. By yourself, so please allow me to introduce myself. I welcome you to the house of sin. Open your mind, let the games begin. Ooh. Your lust and your greed are every shit top which you ever done dream.
Blues leaves, and they reunite with CeCe in 1996. And as of now, I think CeCe's still the guitar player of Poison, but they're not functional. So I get it. I get it. It's a shame that, you know, money gets in the way of all this shit. And Rocket's like, hey, you know, Brett and I are still good, blah, blah, no bad will, parents fight, blah, blah, blah. But then he said he hadn't talked to Brett in a long time. So it doesn't sound like the band's, you know, on a very friendly basis or talking basis. So I get it. Whatever. Whatever. You lucky fans of Look What the Cat Dragged In by Poison, you get to hear Ricky Rocket's solo band do the record in its entirety. Rather than bring in Bobby Dahl and CeCe, and then, you know, just another singer guy to do it, he's going to do the Rocket Mafia. So the Rocket Mafia is going to perform the record in its entirety on select tour dates here in the U.S. I'm not going. I'm just going to tell you. And I'm a fan of Mick Sweeta. Mick Sweeta's in the band for the Bullet Boys, King Cobra. Fan of his. I think he's back with Bullet Boys. So who knows what's going on with Rocket Mafia, but supposedly, according to Ricky Rocket, they're going to go out and do this record. So, they haven't done original music, but they did put out a single, which is a cover. And I know you're going to be excited because I'm going to play it. I know you're like, fuck, dude. Ragman, play it now. I need to hear it. Oh, you're about to. And I heard it. I was like, what? not my thing, but they did a cover version of I Think I Love You by the Partridge Family. Who thought that was a good fucking idea?
What the fuck?
Partridge Family fucking rocked.
No, there was a shitty fucking 70s TV show that Danny Partridge, he's a fucking joke, and all these other people.
Fuck you.
Oh, whatever. You and the Partridge Family. Anyway, yeah, so that's what you got. So I'll tell you what, let's hear the Rocket Mafia and then we're going to move on. Moving on! That's Rocket Mafia doing the Partridge Family. Oy vey. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I thought it'd be funny. But the joke was on me. When I was listening, I was like, what have I done? I just had everyone shut off my podcast at one time. Not good. not good. And it's so funny, when you read these comments on YouTube, you wonder if these guys are just trying to kiss Ricky Rocket's ass. Rock is back! Dude, that was fucking horrible. Really bad. Which makes me need to play something to get the... It's kind of like you get a bad taste in your mouth, and then you got to swish around with some water and take a drink of something else. I tell you what, let's go with some Crystal Lake. This one's called The Weight of Sound. Now I feel better. I got the bad taste out of my mouth. And hey, that Crystal Lake, that was pretty brutal. I don't know much about them. I may check out a little bit more over there. But not too bad. Not too bad. I dig them. Hope you did too. It's a lot better than that fucking Partridge Family cover. Who does that? Oh, you imagine Ricky Rocket and the rest of the guys sitting in a room. It's like, hey, we're going to do some Poison stuff. We'll do a little Bullet Boy stuff. And then, but we gotta, like, put something new out. Should we write new tunes? What do we do? One of the guys says, well, maybe do a cover. You know, a cover's a way to, like, go in, but we make it our own. We don't just do a, you know, karaoke version, something like that. We're gonna make it our own. So, I gotta say, I like when bands, like metal bands, hard rock bands, they'll redo like a pop cover, like Madonna or somebody like that. And those are really kind of fun. Or like something disco, like that Royal Republic, the death metal guys, or they look like they're black metal, whatever, and they did Stayin' Alive, that cover. I played it several shows ago. I love shit like that. But, I mean, you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, let's do the Partridge Family. I mean, who thinks to do that? I mean, apparently those guys, but not a good idea. It's like, hey, let's do The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Let's do a remake of that. Not that, you know, Eddie's father was a musician. I mean, at least the Partridge Family was like, I guess like the Osmonds or something like that, but they had the variety show. Oh, not variety show, just a little sitcom thing. But the Osmonds, I mean, that could be more fun. I don't know. It's a shit. It was horrible. Sorry, guys. I didn't like it. And am I going to go see the Ricky Rocket Experience doing Poison? Probably not. I mean, they sounded okay. And again, I'm a fan of McSweeta. But, and sure, I'm sure he could kill the solos, like, better than CC. Or, yeah, he'll do them justice. Let's just say that. Anyway, enough Poison talk. I want to talk about something else. I've mentioned this a lot on the show over the years. And I want to, it's going to be like a new segment on the Ragman Show. And it could morph into the Genghis and Ragman Show at some point. I just need to talk to Genghis about it. But, you know, when you're in a place, your bar, restaurant, or whatever, even the gym, and you hear music, you're like, oh, what the, what is that? I kind of like that. It's got kind of a vibe to it. And you get on your phone, you get on Shazam, and you're like, Shazam, tell me what this is. And that's, Shazam, it's love-hate with Shazam. Because sometimes it's like, boom. And then there's other times it's like, I can't fucking figure this out. So I don't know, I'm not sure if it's like the sound quality and the environment I'm in or whatever, but sometimes it's like, it can't figure out that fucking song, and I'm great. I really want that song. I want to know who this band is. I want to check them out and stuff like that. But it doesn't always work out that way. So that said, I've been Shazamming, like I said, the last few years and stuff like that. So I want to like play you guys stuff that like strikes me in the moment. And it's so funny when you hear these songs, you're like, oh, fuck, that sounds great. But then if you go back and listen to it or you put it on your playlist on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever your medium is to listen to music streaming-wise, and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? I have a few of those on my like Spotify playlist where I'm like, I need to go delete that. And I've done that from time to time. We'll get into that shit later. But anyway, so tonight we're going to go with the first of this series. This is a Shazam I did at the gym, of all places. And it was kind of a heavy song. I didn't know who it was. I know the band. I just didn't know the song. It must be a new one from them. So this is Spectre by the band Bad Omens. And I don't know if I played Bad Omens on the show before. But I have seen them live and I do like them. But I think there's a lot of hype around them that I am surprised they're as big as what they are. No offense. I mean, they're good, but they don't blow me away. But I like this song. Let's check out. This is called Spectre. Shazam! I like that song. A little Bad Omens. Kind of depressing, a little like mellow and stuff like that, but I dig the vibe. Kudos to those guys. Great song. One thing I want to do real quick, and then I'm going to wrap up because we are getting a little long here, is I want to bring back the classic of the show just for tonight. We'll be right back. How about this kid on Instagram? His name is Angus Simone. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with this guy, but I found him. I actually saw that he was friends with Simone Mulleroni from DGM. And like, if Simone likes him, he's got to be good, because Simone's a fucking monster guitar player, as you know. So what he does is he gets on here on the Instagram and he plays like solos. I'm like, fuck, I wonder if his kid's in a band or whatever. He looks kind of young and stuff like that, but whatever. I'm not worried about that, and you shouldn't be either. So all I'm saying is you should check out his Instagram page. So what he does is he goes back and he gets these like classic solos. So I'm going to play the solo. John, time to put on the game show theme. All right. So tonight, we're going to play a little game. John, are you ready?
I think so. I'm always getting nervous because I always lose.
Don't worry about it. You might get this. I don't know. You weren't in the car the other day, so fuck, I don't know. I don't even know if you follow this Angus Simone guy. But anyway, don't worry about it, John, because there's no punishment if you lose. It's just you. I mean, you have to live with yourself, and you have to look at yourself in the mirror every day, which I don't want to do because you're disgusting. Anyway, all right, we're done. All right, here we go. John, hit button number 3. And this is your cue to try to figure out who this band is. Don't be scared, just fucking do it. All right, John, time's ticking, the show's almost done, but you could go to glory in the sunset. You could maybe find your girl or whatever you like. No one knows.
I get the sex, man.
Yeah, that's what you say. So anyway, we're not worried about your sex life. It's a weird thing that no one even wants to get into. But anyway, who do you think it is? I'm going to give you 3 choices. I'm going to make it easier for you tonight. Usually I'll give you a clue, but I'm going to give you clues tonight. You ready?
Yes. Can I call a family member?
Dude, it's not that kind of game show. You just got to fucking figure it out. You've been in the music industry for a long time. You sang for AC/DC. You sang for Aerosmith.
Those are pretty cool things, right?
Yeah, they are fucking cool. So anyway. All right. 3 choices. Poison, Motley Crue, or Europe?
Can I buy a valve?
You're not buying valves. Just pick a fucking band, dude. A, B, or C. Like, there's your fucking valves.
Don't have to be a fucking dick about it.
I'm not being a dick, dude. I've got to wrap up. I'm tired, and I've got shit to do.
Let's go. Who is A?
Fuck, I don't even remember. Poison. Poison's A, B is Motley Crue, and C is Europe.
I'm gonna go with letter C. For cunt.
You won! It's just because you like the word. Studio audience is going fucking nuts. All right, let's play Europe, Halfway to Heaven.
Another day has come. Can't fail.
great fucking song. Europe Halfway to Heaven off the Prisoners of Paradise record. Came out in 19 whatever. No, just a great record. I like that record. The one that came out before that with Superstitious. When Key Marcello joined the band, God, he just injected this Guitar Hero great thing. John Norum, no disrespect, you're a great guitar player, but Key is my kind of guy. I mean, just the solos, the feeling, and just what a monster. What a monster. And I'm hope this year. I've talked to Key a little bit. He wants to come back on. So hopefully he's going to be on here in the near future. He's working on a new solo record. So when it comes out, or before it comes out, we'll talk to Key, get the deets on his new record. But guys, thank you for listening every week. It's time for me to bid adieu. But I really appreciate your support. I appreciate your comments when you send them. Before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big hose.
I'm tired of waiting on a movie time machine. Sick of wondering if my family misses me. I love my sister, but I hate it.